the Word of God, and you'll never be the same when you see someone go from death unto life. Open your Bibles, open your Bibles. Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13. I may have a lot of disclaimers here because I want to try to be clear. I'm not here to irritate you tonight. I don't typically have the views of America. So you're going to find that out, right? You go to a Baptist churches and you'll get the greatest amens if you wave the red, white, and blue more than the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm not anti-America, just so you understand that. But if you probably ask me, I'm probably close to a pacifist. What that means is I've got greater work to do, not because I'm a pastor, but I really believe that the greatest work to do is the work of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And so, but we'll talk about all of that. Let's read Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Incredible practical instruction. The Bible's timeless. It's just timeless that there is angst in our country. Is anybody happy in our country anymore? It doesn't matter whether you're on your left, the right, in the middle, sideways. Nobody's happy. And so Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, I think is, again, continued instruction for us. If we really want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ by presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, it would include how we respond, how we behave to the government that God has ordained. We'll talk about all that. Let's read Romans 13, 1 through 7. Let every soul, that would exclude nobody, be subject unto the higher powers. It'll explain what does that mean. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Let me pause there. I might mention it again. I know in the 21st century, when we see the word damnation, we believe that this would be telling someone, if you resist government authority, then you will receive damnation, eternal damnation in hell. This word, I'll just tell you this quickly. This word is a Greek word that's krema. It's translated 28 times, 13 times judgment, 7 times damnation, 5 times condemnation, 1 time be condemned, 1 time go to law, another time avenge. I believe this is that if we resist the powers that God does, we will be in danger of judgment. I don't think it's eternal damnation. It's if a believer could do this and then be damned, then a believer could lose their salvation. That's not what this is teaching. So sometimes, right, words change meanings. So we need to make sure that we don't take the 21st century perspective of a word and say, this is eternal damnation. I've heard people say that. I'm not telling you it's a good translation. I'm not telling you it's a bad translation. I'm just telling you sometimes we have to think. It'd be good to think. I hope a red flag came up to you and you're like, whoa, what is that talking about? It's talking about they that resist the authorities that God's put in place, you'll receive to yourselves judgment. God does not look upon it lightly. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Let's start at verse 2 again. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. We'll explain that. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Tonight, just the simple title of the message is Christians in Government, Christians in Government. I want to first look tonight at the responsibilities of believers in this context where he says in Romans 13:1, he says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. He says then, if you'll see this as well in verse 7, he says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. The responsibility of believers to the government under which you are under is to obey. I know. I'm a contrarian. What that means is I'm usually a salmon swimming upstream a different way. And what I have to do is I have to be careful that I'm just not contrary to something just to be contrary. You know, we have flags in the United States that say, don't tread on me. And I think a lot of Christians say, don't tread on me. You know what the Lord says? Let them tread on you. And I'm just telling you, the perspective of the Bible is this. God has told us as believers to obey. Now, I hope that you're aware of the Bible enough that in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, in fact, turn over there. Let's start at verse 28, if you will. Acts chapter 5, verse 28. These are the apostles, and Peter's name's called out because he is, as boisterous as he usually is kind of the ringleader. And the religious and political leader said in verse 28, he said, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name, in the name of Jesus? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon this. They clearly said, we told you not to do this. Why did you do this? Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So I'll give you this context. The Bible says this, that we should subject ourselves unto the government. Obey. Unless the government tells us to do something the Bible said not to do. Unless the government tells us not to do something the Bible's told us to do. Did I supposed to say that the same thing? I meant to say the reverse. If the government tells us to do something the Bible says not to do, then we do it. If the government tells us not to do something that we're supposed to do, do it. I want you to know this. I've used this example. Some people don't like it. If the government says, thou shalt not door knock, what should we do? I'm not going to door knock. Some of you are shocked. God didn't say, door knock, did he, David? We'd act like, you know, wait a minute, pastor, you're a heretic. I love door knocking. I love door knocking. It's the best way for us to try to accomplish the overwhelming task of taking the gospel to every creature, to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world. God didn't command me the method that I have to teach all nations and then teach the believers whatsoever he's commanded, has he? Did he tell me I have to use this method? Now he's told me I better preach the true gospel. So if they tell me not the door knocker, I'm going to jail, I'll visit you if you want a door knock. But I'm going to find a way. I'll be sneaky about it. I'm going to obey God, and if they catch me, they catch me. I've known guys that say, well, bless God, I will door knock. I mean, you're going to jail. I'm not, unless you're convicted about a jail ministry. You know, so I want to tell you this. We've got to be careful that we're not connected to methods. If God told me that this method you must use, I will tell you, if the government tells us not to assemble, we will assemble. Doesn't mean we have to do it so publicly. You're in China, you might not do it so publicly, but I will tell you this. If you want to honor God, you'll do it his way. If you want the blessings of God, you'll do it his way, right? So we are blessed with the freedoms that we are. I love this country. Here's what the Bible says. We are to subject ourselves and obey. I'm speaking to myself. Look, I was just on a plane last weekend, and I watched folks, right? And I am a contrarian, right? And So I went into another world I'd forgotten. I didn't even know this. I really hadn't paid attention. That when you enter an airport, bing, it's federal territory. You have to wear a mask right when you walk into the airport, right? I didn't know that. And but so then we're back in the mask world, right? And I was watching because I'm like, And, you know, I'm just not, I was wrong. I was wrong, you understand? I watched people on the plane. I watched them, you know, and I'm just assuming everybody's lost. They complied perfectly. I mean, so perfectly that you know, when they eat, they would. I'm the guy that puts a straw to my lips just to leave it there and go, still drinking. That's not right. Do you know this? I joke. I was in Texas a year ago in June, and we hadn't had the mask mandate yet, so I was telling them, you better obey. You know, I said, nah, we don't have a mask mandate. The day I came back, we got a mask mandate. I'm like, whoa, man, delete that message. And just because you don't like it doesn't mean we shouldn't obey. And we're going to look at three reasons why. But I want us to understand this. God tells us to obey. And I want to take you back to the context when Romans chapter 13 was written. Nero was in place. We've never had a president. I don't care who you dislike the most in politics. Nobody could rival Nero. And maybe if you think politicians are wacky, Nero takes the cake. He was a kook. And he was hateful, vengeful, evil, and just arbitrary. You could never predict him. If he woke up on the wrong side of the bed or a bad mood, he just might kill you. And he just might kill your whole city. He just might destroy you. That's the context that Paul is writing these people in Rome, this nutbag, Nero. And I've got to be careful. I even think I might be wrong for, he's dead, and I'm talking about it years ago. I'm going to show you a scripture that says, I may be wrong actually calling him a nutbag in the terminology of this, because I want to tell you this. I am wrong if I call any of the current politicians any names like that. So what would make it okay if I'm calling Nero a nutbag? I may be wrong. Got to be careful. You don't follow your pastor as I follow the scriptures. See, we think it's okay to run people down the road, and the Bible says we ought not. We'll look at that in just a second. But I want you to know this. Here's what the Bible says. Obey. Subject yourselves to the government that's in place. I don't think there's almost been a worse government in human history than when Nero was in place. So the question we have is why? The first thing I want you to look at is God has ordained all authority. Now let's look at this in verses 1 and 2. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. We've talked that. You're going to receive judgment. I want you to understand, okay, so what does that word ordain mean? It means to appoint, to order, to arrange. The best verse that embodies what I think God is telling us is Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Turn there. So God has ordained these powers. So I want you to understand, I don't care what your political affiliation is. Joe Biden is the guy that God ordained to be the president of the United States. Now what we have to understand is, what does that mean? Well, look at that. If you talk badly or resist Joe Biden as president, you're in sin and you're liable to be judged by God. Isn't that what the scriptures say? If you have on your Facebook page, and I don't know anybody here that does, Joe Biden's not my president, then just say God is also not my God, because if I resist Joe, I'm resisting God. Is that not what the Bible said? So if you want to rail on Joe, rail on God. You comfortable with that? I'm not. I'm just telling you, I'm going to leave the government job to the government. I got a different job. I want to make this clear, because you'll misunderstand me. And this is one of my disclaimers. I've thought about this, because you'll see, I believe this. We have one fight, and that's the fight of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so then you'd ask this question, do I think it's okay for a Christian to be a soldier? I think it's okay. I think, I view it, there is a little caveat. I don't think I'll deal with the caveat. It's just a choice of income-driven activity. You follow me? There are some income-driven activity that you would know are evil, wrong, and all that, right? You should not be involved with them. So, I mean, I could just name a few. It's like, you shouldn't be working for casinos. You shouldn't work for, you know, beer places, right? You shouldn't work for, you know, places of ill repute or anything with that. Duh, right? But I think in terms of income-driven activity, I would say we have some freedom. So let me just take you to Luke chapter 3. So my opinion, I want it to be based on Scripture. This will follow what we talked this morning, Luke chapter 3. I know this caveat, you're saying, how does this fit, Steve? It may not. But I wanted you to understand that I think we ought to ask all these questions. Luke chapter 3 is going to really dovetail off of our message this morning. And I want you to see verse 9. It's John the Baptist speaking, and then the people respond. Look at verse 9 of Luke chapter 3. You'll recognize this verse from this morning, if you were listening. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. This wasn't in Matthew. So I love the Gospels. It gives us greater breadth many times. And the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? In essence, what they were saying, what would fruits meet for repentance look like? He answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. He said this, you know what, if you've got some extras, you give it away. That would be fruit, meat for repentance. Then he says in verse 12, then came also publicans to be baptized. These were the tax collectors, the most despised people on the face of the earth. And said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. This is the way the tax collectors made money. They knew how much they had to give for you, and they would just charge you anything they want, and they got to keep the extra. And he said, you deal with people honestly, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Was it wrong to be a tax collector? No, but it was wrong to be a dishonest tax collector. Now, verse 14, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? Quit your job. No, that's not what he said. What shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. The way the soldiers would get extra money is they would abuse their authority. They would put people in fear, and they would get extra money. They would do whatever they needed to get whatever they wanted. It could be sinful things. It could be monetary things. And all he says is, he basically says, act like a Christian. Do violence to no man. Don't accuse people falsely. And be content with your wages. Stop whining. Do your job. So I want to be clear. Here's the one risk. The one risk. You see, I believe I'll leave it up to government. And, you know, if I were president of the United States, we would help a lot of other countries, but it would be with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We would take some food to them. I'd want them to get clean water, but it would be with the gospel. We'd spend more money on the gospel than I would food. I'm going to leave that, you know, and I honestly, I don't think it's my job to worry about it. There are countries that are in distress. I think we should pray for them, so that God would open doors for the gospel's sake. And that's not my job. You understand that? I'm going to leave that to the government that God's put in charge. And my job is to share the gospel. My job is for us as a church to be part of reaching the world for Christ. That's our job. That's a pretty big job. Do you think that's a pretty big job? Look around. We can count how many are here tonight. God gave us the responsibility to reach the world. That's a joke if it wasn't for Christ and the Holy Spirit. I think we have plenty to do, don't you? Amen. I don't want to be distracted with other things that other people have a job to do. You follow me? I'm not against aid to other countries. I'm just not worrying about it. That's not my job. Does that make sense? You can disagree with me. I'm just telling you, it is. Here would be my only concern of a Christian being a soldier. I'm just telling this so you can talk this with your kids, right? You see, when I work for an employer, I can quit any minute. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. You can help me. I'm just telling you this. There's a risk that when you yoke yourself with the government in a contractual obligation, Be ready to go to jail if you believe they're asking you to do something that's contrary to what you believe. Now, I pray that they would allow you to have, for conscience sake, you know, what do they call that? Yeah, there's another word for it that they use. But so that would be my only concern, right? That you are sent into battle and you don't agree with that battle. I would also tell you this, as conscientious objector, that's what it would be, conscientious objector, right? So I want to tell you this, I'll, just to be clear, I believe we ought to love, we ought to support all soldiers. You follow me? I don't think there's any place for the way the Vietnam soldiers were treated in the United States, so there's no place for that. You understand? It doesn't matter if I agree with what the government did or not. I need to love those soldiers. You follow me? Those soldiers are just following their commands. The difficulty is if believers are in that arena and they're subjected to ask to do things that they wouldn't feel right before God, right? That's the only issue I have. So why did I cover that? Some people think I'm anti-America when I preach these kind of messages. I'm not. I love America. I love the freedoms. We ought to take advantage of those freedoms for the sake of the gospel. God's told us to obey. God has ordained all authority. It means to appoint, to order, to arrange. Have I read Acts 2:23 yet? I haven't. Okay. Thank you for that emphatic no there, Ron. Nobody else does, but Ron makes up for everybody else. Acts 2:23 says this. Peter preaching this great message at the day of Pentecost, and he's talking to all of these Jews that were there for this great feast, and he's talking about Jesus, where verse 23, he says, him, Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It was God's plan. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. It's a beautiful picture that says this. The exact purpose, the exact ordained plan of God happened. That's Jesus going to the cross. But it was at the hands of men. The hands of men accomplished the will of God. I want you to understand, I'm not trying to dance around ordained, but God accomplishes his purpose even through evil men. It doesn't mean that God approved of Nero, but Nero accomplished God's purpose and plan, and it was through the hands of men, but it exactly the plan, the purpose, the appointment of God. I tell you that because some, and I'm not there, we can get along, take the word ordain, take the word sovereign, and they want it to be this control to a level I cannot find in the Bible. God's sovereignty, God's plan, God is in charge, to be clear. There's not one molecule that God is not in charge of. You understand that? Not a one. But I want you to understand that it can be taken to a ridiculous notion, because what we try to do with our minds, his ways aren't our ways, his thoughts aren't our thoughts, and we try to bring it to a point where we understand it, and I think what we do is we might misrepresent God. Here's what I know is this. Everything that happens, I trust is the will of God. Amen. And we should not bellyache complain about it, and I want to tell you this, every authority in place is ordained of God, authorized by God, approved by God. It passes through the hand of God, and he says, yes, that accomplishes my purpose. Doesn't mean he approves of their sin, doesn't mean he approves of their actions, but it will exactly accomplish the purpose of God. Pilate was in charge, but not really. Remember, Pilate said, I could do whatever I want. I can let you go. And Jesus looked at him, I'm paraphrasing. Jesus says, you can do nothing unless it's given of you by my Father. You see, God is in charge. I don't understand exactly how it all works. I just know this. I can trust the Lord. I just know this. What can I do? What can I do to impact the ordained sovereign plan of God? Nothing. What I need to do is understand what God has commanded me to do, and then by God's grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit in my heart, fighting against this contrarian flesh, is honor the Lord. That's what we should do. You following me? I want you to know this. Every leader is ordained of God. I want you to turn, if you will, to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2. I do love discussion. I'm happy to discuss it. I may say things that I'll end up disagreeing with. So I'm not so worried about my opinion. I want to be consistent with the Word of God. There is a place for protecting our families. I've said that before. I don't know if I need to say that again. But 2 Peter chapter 2, this gives us just a little bit more perspective on how we are to treat those in authority. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Always dangerous jumping in the middle. Go back and look at the context. I don't think I'm taking this out of context. He says, "The Lord," 2 Peter 2, 9, "the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government." It's sort of like, what? I want you to understand this insurrection that happened back in January. If you look at these characters exactly fit this description in 2 Peter. And do you want to follow them? You should be glad that you didn't. Waste of time. I don't care if they were successful. But God says this, he says, "But chiefly the Lord will bring judgment, chiefly to them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government." He says this, "Presumptuous are they," those that despise government. "Self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." And so, you know, when I said that Nero was a nutbag, I think I may have been out of bounds. Just really, you think I want to honor the Lord. Because if I call Nero a nutbag, why couldn't you call some other official you didn't like a nutbag? I probably shouldn't lead that. That's poor. That was bad leadership. Please forgive me. We should not call names, period, okay? Shouldn't. Got to be careful. Be careful of me. I don't want to lead you astray. He says, "Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might," you know, they could put their money where their mouth is. They can talk about somebody bad. You know how somebody's like, "Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah," and then bang, you know, they run like a, I was going to say like a little schoolgirl. It'd be bad to run as a schoolgirl if you're a man. And so it is, "But angels, which are greater in power and might than us, they bring not railing accusation against them," against the dignities, against the government. They don't bring railing accusation against them before the Lord. And they have a better perspective than you and I do, and they don't run them down the road. I just tell you this, this is why. It's why I don't watch the news anymore. The more you watch the news, the more you'll run people down the road. I don't care which network you watch. I'm just telling you, I will find out if the sky is falling down. Henny Penny will rescue me. Nobody remembers the story of Henny Penny. The sky is falling. Great, great children's storybook. My wife remembers. Carl, do you remember Henny Penny? You do not. Thank you for remembering Henny Penny. But I don't have to worry about it. We'll find out the news. I don't need to bury my head in the news. I told you this just within the week or so. If all professing believers in the United States of America spent the time they have watching the news, and they spent that time seeking to spread the gospel, this country would be a different place. He says, but verse 11, "Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these," the people that don't follow that, "as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and they utterly perish in their own corruption." You think you know what's going on in the government? You do not. You think your conspiracy theory is right? It is not. God is taking care of it. Let's let him take care of it. "And they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime." Is the Bible just relevant? "Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery." This is the character of these people. "And that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart that have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children." You're hurting your children, "which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet." Ultimately, it comes down to this. It comes down to money. That's why I told you this morning, the Boston Tea Party, money. Do you think taxation without representation is a reason for you to enact Acts 5:29? That says, you know, that we ought to obey God rather than men? It is not. But you deal with your pocketbook. I'm just telling you, I cannot think of any reason other than that we are attacked and I must protect my family and we must have a plan, and we will, I will be part of protecting this country. I have no issues with that. And maybe you could argue, you know, the British did that. I'm not even going to go into that. But it is, for the most part, in the 21st century, my job, my work, is to obey the government. God has ordained those in authority. Don't talk badly about them. I will tell you, the average Baptist preacher seems to have missed 2 Peter chapter 2. Don't run Baptist preachers down the road. People attack Baptist preachers enough. So don't you go running them down the road. We Christians ought not, but I'm just telling you this, it ought not to be. You understand that? When we talk negatively about anybody, your kids are going to talk negatively about them. It's just a simple principle, but God says, hey, guess what? When you resist those in authority, you're resisting me. That's the Bible. Second reason I say is to avoid trouble. Why should believers obey the government? Is to avoid trouble. Look back at Romans chapter 13. This is just common sense. You don't want to get a speeding ticket? What's the answer? Don't speed. You don't want to get arrested for stealing? Don't steal. Right? And so it just says, it says this, look at verse 3, if you will. He says, for rulers are not a terror to good works. Now, he's talking when Nero's in place. Nero really didn't want to deal with people. And so just stay below the radar, share the gospel. If you get in trouble with the gospel, that's a different story. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. God has placed government for our good. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? You know what? You should. You know what? I know where the speed traps are. Whoop. You know? He says, have common sense. Wilt thou not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Here's what God says. You know, I'm glad. I'm glad we have government. I'm glad that, you know, I mean, there's crazy things, but don't worry about crazy things, right? Just do your job, and that's the work of the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, can there be some Daniels? There can be some Daniels. I'm just glad that I've never had the burden to be in politics. Gag. I'm just, you know, if God gives you that burden, I'll pray for you. But it's, I'm telling you, the only reason why I believe you should be a politician is because you believe that's the venue and that's the platform that God wants to use for you to spread the gospel even further. I tell people this all the time. Before they should marry somebody, the only reason you should marry that person is that you believe that together, you two will be more effective for the kingdom of God. If you do not believe you will be more effective for the kingdom of God, you should not get married. That's why we're not married eternally. Now that you're married, then make it work. You follow me? That means don't go back and say, well, Pastor said, God hates divorce. And so if you're married, you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to stay married, so make it work. Make it work. But I tell people in premarital counseling, I say, if you don't think this is the person that'll help you serve and honor the Lord, and I know, it's the younger they are, it's harder to understand. I didn't really grasp that with my wife. I knew she loved the Lord and she looked good. I really liked her, and I couldn't wait to marry her, right? And I wish I'd known all the truth that I know now, and she wouldn't have married me if she did. So, you know, I'm thankful she married me. It's been good for me, and I really believe that being married to my wife has been better. My point is this, is that we should just do what is right. It's to, because God has ordained all authority to avoid trouble. And then I say, and this may be redundant, but I don't think so, it's to honor God. Look at verse 5. He says, wherefore, if you must needs be subject, so you got to be subject, not only for wrath, not only because you're going to get in trouble, but also for conscience sake. I struggle with this. I don't believe God's Ricky rule book, but I do believe this. I believe my sin if I go too fast. is my attitude. Sometimes the only thing I'm worried about is getting caught. And you know why I need to do it? For conscience sake. God's told me to be subject. I don't care if 25 miles an hour is a speed trap. You know what I should do? I should slow down. I should be able to have "I love Jesus" on my bumper. And so, you know, I'm telling you, it's still here. Haven't forgotten about it. And the Bible says this, it's to honor God. Responsibility of believers, you get this? Obey, subject ourselves to government. Second thing, what's the role of government? I think there's just two things. First thing I want you to see, verse 3 and 4, the role of government is to reward good and punish evil. He says that, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now there's going to be days of persecution, and there are days of persecution in other countries even today, and have been for centuries. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Verse 4, for the minister of God, these servants, they're the servants of God, whether saved or lost, for he is the minister of God to do to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. You see, the Bible said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The government can also be a revenger in place of God. But not you. That's not your job. It's not your job to go and exact vengeance on anyone. Leave that to the Lord and leave that to the government. Second thing, this isn't popular, it's to collect taxes. Maybe I was simplifying too much, verse 6. But he says, for this cause pay ye tribute also. I've got to be careful, I call people nuts too much. I've seen people that have been in jail because they want to suggest that there's wording in the 1912 Act that enabled the collection of federal income taxes. They want to suggest that it wasn't legitimate. Do you think, I just want to ask you this, oh Christian, do you think God wants you to worry about what happened in 1912 with taxes, or do you think God wants you to pay your taxes? God wants you to pay your taxes. You know, I do tell folks this, render to Caesar's that which is Caesar's, but not a dime more. Leverage the loopholes. Be honest, be truthful, but find out what the loopholes are. He says this in verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also. Here's why. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Government needs money to run, and it's coming from you and I. Verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You know, Jesus, they were trying to trick him, and he really gave the great answer when they said, you know, do we pay taxes to Caesar or not? They thought, well, if you tell us to pay taxes, then all the Jews will be mad at you. And if you tell them not to pay taxes, then we'll get the Romans mad at you. And Jesus asked him what the superscription, what the printing was on the coin. And they told him Caesar's. And he said, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Here's the whole point. In the 21st century, in fact, in the last 5 years, if I can just take the last 5 years, it has become super popular for Christians to become hateful, mean-spirited about government. Folks, I think the scriptures would say, we are wrong when we publish, when we speak, in any kind of communication, and I would tell you this, ultimately it's in our heart, because what's in our heart will come out of our mouth eventually. Here's what God says. You should pray for Joe Biden. You should pray for all your governmental leaders. You know, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful. I have this thought that we're going to see another shutdown. I'm thankful for Mike DeWine, even though I don't think he's made a lot of good decisions, right? The one thing that he did is he gave churches freedom that we could continue to assemble. We were criticized for that. That doesn't mean churches that made decisions. You know what I love? I love the independence of churches. Let churches decide as a church what they're going to do. But I'm thankful for Mike DeWine. I trust if we have another shutdown that he will not command that we not assemble. If he commands that we not assemble, we'll cross that bridge when we cross that bridge. But here's the point. What's your attitude toward what God ordained? I will tell you that the message is broader than this. When God allows things into our life, we just went through Job. God rebuked Job. You know, I love the progression. In all this, did Job sin not? In all this, did Job sin not with his lips? Right here. And then God rebuked him because ultimately what came out of his lips, what he was stewing on, what he was dwelling on. I want to tell you, I don't know how you can avoid violating this if you watch the news. Either way, so just to be clear, I'm going to give you my opinion. I think Sean Hannity will destroy you as a Christian. I think Tucker Carlson will corrupt you as a Christian. I've watched these guys. All they do, I'm not worried whether what they say is truth. I'm negative and I violate this scripture and I speak evil against dignities. And God said not to do it. Folks, we've got better things to deal with. The government is God's work. Aren't you glad? He says, I'm taking care of it, I'm ordaining it. Don't you worry about it. In fact, you trust me. He says, I have given you quite a big job. I want you to preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to teach all nations. And then when I save them, I want you to teach them all things whatsoever commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. We get distracted with things that we can't change. What can you do to change our government by getting all worked up and upset about it? Nothing. See, I almost use the word kook again. I gotta leave the word kook. These guys that were climbing the walls at the White House, they were deceived, weren't they? And now they're in court and they're like, what in the world was I doing? Amen. Don't ever get sucked into that. We have the greatest cause, the cause of Christ, and we ought to live peaceably with all men, if at all possible. The way to live peaceably with people is be kind to them. The way to live peaceably with people is not to buck the government. Folks, the government in my lifetime has never affected me with my ability to preach, proclaim, and publish the gospel ever in my life. Has it you? Has it me? Oh, I had notes put in my little file at work. You know, I just had to follow through a couple other things, right? It is a joy to be in this country. God tells us, obey, submit, because it's God that has ordained those authorities. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help me. I have an attitude.